your sphere, your friends, your family. He said, the truth of the matter is they're going to invite you back and you're not going to have spent anything. There's no sacrifice involved. You're going to get it all back somehow. He said, invite. And then in the King James Version of the Bible, he uses four words that he uses multiple times through the Gospels. He says, next time you invite people to a dinner that you host, he says, you invite the poor. You invite the maimed. Invite the lame and invite the blind. Now, certainly he was speaking to those physical parameters, right? But I believe that there's also an application to just people. Have you ever been around somebody that has everything, but they're poor in heart? And I'm not speaking about the Beatitudes, poor in spirit. I'm talking about they might have a ton of other things, but they're poor in family relationships. They're poor in whatever. Maimed. I guarantee you that we have a ton of, well, I'll say this. I can't say we. I have. I can't say for you, though. But there's a ton of maimed people. What's maimed? A whole bunch of other things are working, but there's one thing that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Right? Have you ever been around somebody that's successful business-wise? Maybe you know, whatever. They're a phenomenal entrepreneur. They might be this, that, or the other. But there's an area of their life that's just absolute shambles. They're maimed. And then there's certainly people that are lame, that just can't go forward in life. It just seems like whatever they try to do, it just seems like they take two steps forward and five steps back. It's just. And then there's people that maybe one could say is in a worse position. They're just blind. They can't even see the condition of where they really are. He said, invite those. Why? He says, you invite the kind of people who will return the favor. In other words, if I could say it this way, the comfortable ones. Amen? Invite some people who never get invited out. The misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. You'll be and experience a blessing. They won't be able to return the favor, but the favor will be returned. Okay? How will it be returned? At the resurrection of God's people. Do you know what we do here has a reward there? So is that why we do it? No, that's the benefit of doing it. We do it why? Why would we invite, to use the analogy, why would we invite those that never get invited? Because what happens if they don't get invited? They'll forever be poor, maimed, lame, and blind. How many people, church, do we live by that if they were to die, we have no clue where they would spend eternity? Amen? Don't want you to get tense. I just want us to have a heart that just says, wow, could my focus be adjusted? So do we ignore family and friends and people that are comfortable? Not at all. But if we don't include others, what have we done? Amen? I was sharing this in staff that it's an old stat. It's at least 15 years old. Somebody said the stat now was worse. I don't know that for sure other than what they said. But the stat is if you've been a Christian for 10 years or more, you no longer have any meaningful relationships with anybody outside of the church to be able to impact their life. And my understanding is that stat may be even worse, if that's possible. That happens within 2 years of coming to Christ. Amen? So let's continue on in the story. Then he goes on and he says, that triggered a response from one of the guests. What verse am I in? 15, right? And the guest said, well, how fortunate is the one who gets to eat dinner in God's kingdom? So Jesus followed up and said, yes. For there was once a man, and now he tells a story about a man who threw a party, threw a great, great dinner party, invited many. So in other words, it was a list that was an invited list. If you didn't get the invite, you couldn't come. Are you with me? When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servants to the invited guests, saying, come in, the food's ready on the table. The food's on the table. Remember that old hymn? Come to the table. What Noah is it? All things are ready. Come to the feast. Okay, that's where it came from. Then they, who's the they? The they here are those that were invited to the party. And Jesus now is specifically making a reference to the children of Israel. He's now specifically honing in. So they went to the servant, went to these guests that were invited. The first one said, I bought a piece of property and need to look it over. Send my regrets. In other words, I can't come. Another said, I just bought 5 teams of oxen and I really need to check them out. Send my regrets. Another said, I just got married and I need to get home to my wife. Did you know those are 3 things that every one of us face today? Family, work, and our personal well-being. Every one of them, he's not suggesting to ignore. But when those things take precedence of focus, we might need to change our focus. Are you with me? So it's not to neglect your well-being. It's not to neglect your job, and it's certainly not to neglect your family. Jesus is just simply pointing out something to a group of people whose focus maybe needed to be redirected. The servant went back, told the master what had happened, and he was outraged. And told the servant, then quickly go out into the city streets and alleys. I think your King James Version says the highways and the byways. Collect all who look like they need a square meal. I like how the message brings that out. Collect all those who look like they need a square meal. All the misfits and homeless and wretched. You can lay your hands on and bring them here. I have a question for us. Are there people in our lives who just look like they may need a square meal? And what I mean by that is not necessarily physical food. And if that's the case, there's an application there as well. But is there anybody in our life that might have it all together in the natural, but that are poor, maimed, lame, or blind, that we can identify and say, hey, there's a table prepared for you? What's interesting is these they that I want us to become. When you read where Jesus in the Gospels, when you read where Jesus came to, I think Andrew, hope I don't get his, that's the first one, that he came to. Here you have Andrew, ends up making some sort of a statement like this, that man, the solution to my problems I found. And what he did is he then went to his family and friends and brought them in by the droves. To just simply say, listen, we're not talking about becoming a theologian. We're just talking about sharing life experience. He was able to just say to his families and friends, man, all the stuff that I needed, all the solution, all the hurts, all the whatever that I had, I found an answer in Jesus Christ. At least let me bring you to him, take a look at him and see what happens. And what you find is through that group, many others just begin to follow in behind. It's not about becoming a theologian. It's about being able to care and share life experience. Amen? So let's go on in this. So the servant reported back and said, Master, I did what you commanded. In other words, what did he do? He went out to the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, invited them to come. He says, I did what you commanded, and there's still room. How many of you know this speaks to, and whosoever will God? The scripture says about Jesus that he came to his own and his own rejected him. So then what happened? The message went out to who? The whole world, the Gentiles. That's who you and I are. That says, listen, all things are ready. Come to the feast. Aren't you thankful that the kingdom of God will never, ever have a maximum capacity has been reached? Amen. Wow. The master said, well, then listen, there's still room. Go to the countryside whenever, whoever you find, drag him in. I want my house full. Let me tell you what. If we could just get the idea in our brain of 2 things, that God doesn't want to have just a party with the ones that need no rescue. He wants to have a party for those that need, and all who are welcome are those that need no rescue. Who would that be? That'd be the church. If we're already in the body of Christ by accepting Jesus, you're in, but it should never stay there. Are you with me? Wants it to be filled. There'll always be more. How many of you know in God, it's kind of like that grandma on the farm. Bring a visitor, there's always more. Just scoot over, put another plate down. There's more than enough. Put another plate down. There's just more than enough food. I appreciate Dredd's mom. You know, when I first started to be a part of that family before I was married, between Dredd and her sister and her brother, every time we sat down at the table, somebody else came that none of us knew and that mom didn't know about, but there was always more than enough food. We just scooted over and made room. So let's go on. This story continues on. One day when large groups of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned and told them. Now, Jesus now just begins to tell some very, very short points, maybe stories, to get a point across. Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters. So is Jesus saying to abandon and reject? This is a focus issue. And then he says, yes, even your own self can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow me can't be my disciple. Then he tells another one. Is there anyone who, planning to build a house, doesn't first sit down, figure the cost so that he'll know if he can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to be pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will just poke fun at you and saying he started something but he couldn't finish. Or it tells another one. Can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it's possible with his 10,000 to take on 20,000? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Salt is excellent, but if the salt goes flat, it's useless, good for nothing. Then he says, I like how Peterson says it. Are you listening to this? Really listening? Babe, there we go, push that and get to the next one. Then he goes on and starts another set of stories. And what he talks about, I won't read him, but he talks about how that when one leaves the 90 and 9 and go looks for the one lost sheep, you know the story if you've read it. If you haven't, I encourage you to read the next chapter. He begins to tell it and says it like this. He says that when you find that one sheep that was lost, he said there's more rejoicing in heaven at the finding of the one lost sheep than there is over the 99 that needed no rescue. Does that mean the one that needed no rescue are worthless? It's a focus issue, is all it is. It's just a focus issue. Then he tells the story of the little lady that lost a coin, right? And she cleans her entire house. And when she finds that one coin, he says, don't you know that she rejoices over the finding of that one lost coin? And then Jesus says again, there's more rejoicing in heaven when a sinner comes home than there is over those that need no rescue. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm challenging us. And the reason I say us is I'm in it, because I'll tell you what, anything that applies to you applies to me. Yes, I'm pastor, but you know what? I'll also stand before God as just Lynn, as just God's son, without a title. I'll also stand before God with a title. Amen? The title doesn't grant me anything good. In fact, if anything, it makes the bar higher. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Because I've stood in a position of leadership. So I'm talking us. I'm just asking us to challenge ourselves, to ask ourselves, could we change, just adjust? Maybe I could say it this way. Could we expand our focus to include those that aren't typically a part of the dinner? Could we set a place at our table for those that typically aren't part of the dinner? Amen? Because listen, so Can you see this right here? It's in green. The Lord gave me this to simply say. What starts out in our life as a fountain or a river can very easily turn into a swamp if we shut the flow off. What starts out in our life as a fountain or a river may many times end up becoming a swamp. Pastor, are you calling us a swamp? No, what I'm saying is, could be. That's individual. I can't speak with where you are at all. That's why the application for this will hit us all in different ways. Amen? But I can say for sure, I want a river. I want a fountain that flows with the life of God. And I refuse to become a swamp. So what does that mean? Wow, that means a lot of things. Differently for each one of us. And next week, what I want to share is I want to share some specific things for us as a corporate body of believers. Or I'll even go put it down a little further to that dinner party that comes together and that loves meeting together. But let me just say this. If this is the sum total of our Christian experience of coming together, then guys, we've got it all wrong. This is an important component. Coming together is an incredible component of the picture. But it is not the picture. We live in a selfie society. Do I have my phone? I lost my phone. No, I'm kidding. I really may have. We live in a selfie society. And I just want to, I could point it out verbally, but, you know, and I can't physically do it here because I don't know how to do this phone. Smarter than me. Hair all over this thing. Where'd that come from? It's about focus. We live in a selfie-generated world. And guys, I'm just going to call a spade. The church is a selfie world. It's fun coming together. I'm not talking about just church. It's fun hanging around other Christians that believe the same, like the same food, have the same taste, have the same whatever. Amen? All I'm asking, on my phone, and I'm sure on this one, so this is just blank, but there's a button that you can push that changes the what? Changes the focus from coming this way to poof, now it goes that way. All I sense that God's saying to us, guys, we got to change the focus. Or I encourage you to consider changing the focus. I was telling the staff, I said, you know, I feel like I'm very clear inside of the focus that I believe God wants to have. It's just that bringing out in a life-giving way that doesn't hammer us over the head, and I trust that this hasn't come across harshly. But I'm telling you what, I want us to become they. I don't care if anybody ever knows our name. I want us to become they. That we could be heroes to somebody. This year, next year, and whatever. So next week, I may bring out numbers, but I'm just going to tell you what. So is it to do this? I you know, maybe feel some of you are thinking, oh yeah, you're just saying that so we can grow the church. It's like, you know, I want to tell you point blank. There's at least two things that God specifically asked me to address. And one isn't, listen, if you come out of here with the idea that to do this so that we can grow the church, you're missing the whole point because I really don't care about the numbers of it. I really don't. If that's the issue, God just wants us to know it's not about numbers, because I feel like this. Touching people, whatever numbers and stuff may bring, will all take care of itself. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Pastor, well, I know somebody wants to school me. Well, you need to be concerned about numbers. Big picture, sure, I'm concerned about the number of people that go to Jesus, that go to heaven. But I'm talking about an area of focus that I think, I'll just say for the body of Christ that I pastor, I think it might have an application to the body of Christ at large. But guys, we just live in a selfie world. Are we willing to open up our hearts and make a place for the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind in life? Amen? And so it's not about the stuff I'm going to share. And I'm excited to talk about next week. I really am. And I just hope you come back. Because when our individual focus I know people don't like the word change, so I'll use a politically correct word. When our focus gets readjusted, just realigned, it will have an impact on our church family's focus. And actually, for me, you know, 28 years later, I have to say I'm really excited, because I think getting those things aligned, there's some things that we've struggled with. And the reason it hasn't had the impact that it has is because of our individual focus. Amen? Maybe to use another phrase, there's some things that we've tried to do, it's just like pulling teeth. But now I can see, if we can just align our focus maybe a bit different individually, that answers some of those issues. Amen? So I'm really excited, guys. I love you. Did this come out okay? I just want to encourage us to ask ourselves the question, who else besides our Christian family have we invited to the dinner? Amen? And I just believe that 2017, I'm excited for next week as well. I got some very specific things that actually, maybe for the first time for a lot of people that's maybe sensed some of these things as well, that you'll go, hopefully next week you're going to be able to walk out and go, I see where I can fit in aligning myself with some different whatever it may be. Okay? Is that fair? All right, let's all stand up.